I'm going to prepare a series of messages. The first part of series will be continued for 3 weeks, today and next 2 more Sundays. And basically for 3 weeks during this month, I'm going to deal with some really fundamental and basic issues for your understanding. Then next year, because I do not want to spend the month of December with the same issue, next year I'm going to go into the biblical text dealing with homosexual issues, homosexuality issues, more in detail. So biblical exposition will come next year, but more like for the next 3 weeks, we are going to learn some fundamental matters on this issue, and we want to see why they become so serious issues to us. Is this issue really relevant to us today? And so those matters I'm going to discuss. And some of the things I would like to quote from the sources, but because the quantity is just too much, so I have given you some of those links over the internet, so you can just click on those links, because sermon outline just sent to you by emails, and so you can find those source materials for your reading later on. So even though I have quoted, or we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 11, this is not a time to expound the passage per se, but I'm going to deal with the issues more like in general. All of you must have heard about LGBTIQA+. There are different combinations of words, so different materials use different combinations. But the latest one I found was this one, LGBTIQA+. If you have not heard of those, you must have heard about, you know, Pride Parade or transgender issues one way or another. You may want to know of these labels. LGBTIQA+ represent lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, the queer, indefinite, and asexual. Identifying the meaning of sexual identity labels is difficult because the list is constantly growing and some terms vary in meaning. For example, Q often stands for questioning over sexual identity, or queer. Queer is no longer an insult but can be used as a collective term that includes gay men, lesbian, bisexuals, the transgendered, seeking and questioning folk, people who are non-sexual or differently sexual, as well as those accepting or supportive heterosexuals who are queer in a homophobic society, in quote, end of quote. Well, I quoted it from directly material provided by pro-homosexuality. To make my dealings with this issue more fair, oftentimes, rather than I quote from Christian writers, I do quote from more recognized standard materials or even pro-homosexual groups or writers. Antagonistic attitude amongst evangelical Christians toward homosexuals or LGBTQIA+ groups has kept people having sex same-sex attraction from coming to church and asking for help. I cannot remember one time when someone said, "I am battling with same-sex attraction. Please pray for me." We have heard many, many testimonies of Christ's saving power, but none of them had included even a passing reference to homosexuality. How can Christians live in a culture that promotes the gay lifestyle, yet worship in a culture that never talks about it other than possibly to condemn it? Is the atmosphere of our church different from the church the Apostle Paul ministered in? Paul apparently knew people in the church at Corinth who had left the gay lifestyle, and he fearlessly referred to their new identity. That is what is being said in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. It says, let me read it again. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor abusers of themselves with this with mankind. These terms are referring to homosexuals. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So when he was writing to the Corinthian believers, he said, such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So some of those worshippers in Corinthian church apparently had gay lifestyle before, but they forsook it, they left their lifestyle, and they were converted, and they became Christians. Conservative Christians in general consider homosexuality as a sin in the Bible. Sometimes their passion to defend their views makes them very harsh and even very cruel to the ones struggling with homosexual inclinations. They say in the name of Jesus something like, God hates fags, or gays go to hell. You and I understand that it is a difficult issue, but we have a conviction that homosexual lifestyle is against the will of God, which necessitates us to stand firmly against the assaults from the LGBTIQA plus propagandas. However, I must caution all of us that though we are not homosexuals and do not agree with the LGBTIQA plus group's claims, we are also sinners in other areas. Our specific battles and sins may vary, but our hearts are the same, sinful and desperately wicked. And our daily need for the grace of Jesus Christ is the same. Or sometimes we may become overly passionate about this particular issue and think that homosexually inclined people are the enemies and shooting at them. Thus, we are defined by what we are against, which is homosexuality, whom we oppose, homosexuals, and in the meanwhile, the gospel is lost in the fray. Peter Hubbard aptly says in his book, Love into Light, in quote, the preacher makes applications in his sermons to lying, stealing, or marital selfishness, and periodically a man may testify to struggling with heterosexual lust, or a woman may ask for prayer regarding anxiety. But these sins seem normal, understandable, and there is hope and help for change, but homosexuality seems different. When it is mentioned in church, it's usually associated with abomination, activism, or antagonism. Often the pronouns change from we to them. Some sins allow you to be a we, but other sins from we to them. So other sins require you to be a them. Thus, any person struggling with the same-sex attraction in the church could be tempted to conclude that homosexual is unredeemable. At this point, it may be good to think of the words of G.K. Chesterton. He warned against, in quote, stating the disease before we find a cure, end of quote. I thought this is quite interesting analogy. In cases of mere physical sickness, stating the disease first is appropriate because, in quote, there is no doubt at all about the shape in which the body should be built up again. For example, doctors can appropriately treat lung cancer because they know what healthy lungs look like and how they are supposed to function. Because they have that knowledge, they know immediately whether this lung has a problem or not. The disease can be diagnosed only in the light of knowing what it looks like to have healthy or ideal lungs. Without understanding what healthy looks like, a diagnosis may actually be a misdiagnosis. In the case of homosexuality, if we identify the disease as a sexual identity repression, or homophobia, as the LGBTIQA group have argued for a long time, then the cure will be the opposite, sexual identity expression, or homophobia. As this proposed cure is pursued, change may happen. Sexual identity may have been labored and actualized, but this says nothing about whether the change is positive or negative. If we start with the disease, then we want to know when we've been cured. Homosexual professor and researcher Savin Williams wonders if, in quote, our advice to same-sex attracted young people has been wrong, and that perhaps we should be encouraging them not to identify as gay, end of quote. It's quite interesting, because we used to hear from different people, so-called experts, saying that sexual attraction repression toward, if someone is a same-sex attracted person and he suppresses that feeling, and then that is going to cause a lot of problems. And so that is sickness. So the cure is that those individuals must be freely able to express their sexual desires or sexual inclinations. And besides that, they should be encouraged to practice it continually, by which their illnesses will be fixed. One reason this particular professor ponders this dramatic shift is the overwhelming evidence of the alarmingly high levels of depression, substance abuse, and dangerous sexual activities and suicidality among those young people who self-identify as gay. Not because of suppression, but because of expression, those issues are coming. But to the contrary, you hear oftentimes from people, experts, saying that if you say to the gay man or lesbian person that it is not a good thing, then you are actually killing that person because he's going to or she's going to be a suicider. You are a murderer, even they charge in such a manner. In the past, depression, addiction, and suicidal tendencies among homosexuals were linked to sexual identity repression or oppression. However, this link is no longer clear since sexual expression and social acceptance do not always alter the levels of depression, substance abuse, and suicide. So maybe the cure, which has been known as sexual expression, is actually the part of the disease. We are confused over the LGBTIQA+ issues, I think, a lot. Let me begin with the two sources of confusions. Number one, confusion source. We are confused by professing Christians or churches claiming to be gay and lesbian friendly. There are many denominational churches supporting LGBTIQA+ Christians. I call them Christians because they go to gay lesbian churches to worship God. They claim to be Christians, so I just use their labors, not according to my definition, but according to their definition. They believe that they could be both Christians and homosexuals at the same time. These denominations include the Presbyterian Church in USA, PCUSA, largest Presbyterian group denomination in America, United Methodist Church, and Anglican or Episcopalian Church, and there are many other small denominations too. The Uniting Church affirms its support for LGBTIQA+ group in its official website as following. I'm going to read it from their website for you. In quote, "We are passionate about helping people lead happy, healthy lives. Uniting celebrates diversity of ability, age, ethnicity, faith, sexual orientation, intersex variation, and or gender identity, and welcomes everyone exactly as they are. Our organizational strategy includes our commitment to celebrating LGBTI communities. Our strategy is to evolve our advocacy, inclusivity, and safe environments." You are going to hear those words quite often, inclusivity, and safe environments for members of LGBTI communities, their families and friends. Our LGBTI strategy is to be leaders of inclusive practices so that members of the LGBTI communities, their friends and families feel welcome and safe. This means we welcome all people, including those who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, gender diverse, and those with an intersex variation, or however you identify, end of quote. So we welcome, and we are gay and lesbian friendly church. And that's our community. That's what Uniting Church is saying. 60% of the Baptist churches in Australia form a traditional doctrine of marriage, at least according to one research paper, which says, marriage, in quote, marriage is a covenant relationship ordained by God as a lifelong faithful union of one man and one woman, not one person with one person, one man and one woman. Sexual intimacy outside of such a marriage is relationship, is incompatible with God's intention for us as his people, end of quote. It means that 40% of them disagree. Australia's Anglican churches are split over the issue as following. Australia's Anglican church has a split with a conservative group of bishops opposed to same-sex marriage forming a breakaway diocese, but progressive argue that they are entirely faithful to scripture, end of quote. So the broken away Anglican group in Australia is the group that opposes LGBTQI, but remaining Anglican groups are actually in favor of the movement. There are a few metropolitan community churches known as gay and lesbian churches. It is possible that their ministers themselves are gays or lesbians. We remember that prior to the referendum about same-sex marriage a few years ago, some churches put pro-same-sex marriage signs outside of their church buildings. So what I want you to know is that not all churches are the same. So there may be a chance that you may have to move away from Adelaide, and so you have to find a home church somewhere. Beware that not all churches are the same churches simply because the title, the church, is attached to that particular congregation. In fact, there are homosexual theologians promoting their views by publishing books and articles. They claim to believe in God and the Bible, but they are either homosexuals or their sympathizers. Thus, ordinary Christians are confused. They are Christians. They are going to churches. They are theologians. Even some of the homosexual writers and authors are theologians with THD. Doctor in theology and PhDs. So confusion comes from so-called church-claiming groups, gay and lesbian friendly groups. So churches themselves are confusions, sources of confusions. Second, we are confused by so many social and educational services promoting gay rights and LGBTIQA movement. One of them is Safe School Program, is an example. It has been said that the program is to help schools, in quote, foster a safe environment that is supportive and inclusive of LGBTIQA plus students, end of quote. That is the purpose of Safe Program in government schools. Even daycare centers are not free from the aggressive campaign of the LGBTIQA plus movement. For example, Hillel Itali wrote an article for AP News on April 24th this year, 2023. She wrote, in quote, there is such a thing like International Day Against Homophobia, Biophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism, and Transphobia Day. So IDAHOBIT, that's the abbreviation. Some daycare centers put it into their program. This would be called Rainbow Day, and the small children who can barely talk would participate in activities exposing them into radical gender theory, end of quote. In olden days, liberals, atheists, humanists criticized the Christians that they brainwashed the public to believe in God. That's why we cannot present a Bible in government schools and public schools. Now the proponents of LGBTIQA+ want to bring teaching programs into school system to influence the minds of our children or to brainwash them as if LGBTIQA+ should be believed in by everyone. If anyone speaks against them, it is a fearful thing. They call it discrimination, which is not a simple offense, but a criminal act. This is a violation of the law in this country. Many books have been published to promote the LGBTIQA plus agendas. They are placed in the libraries, both in the public and the school libraries. Let me bring, first of all, an example from the U.S. The AP News reports the following news, in quote, with Florida legislators barring even the mention of being gay in classrooms and similar restrictions under consideration in other states, a report released Monday says books with LGBTQ plus themes remain the most likely targets of bans or attempted bans at public schools and libraries around the country. The American Library Association announced that Maya Kobabe's graphic memoir, Gender Queer, was the most challenged book of year 2022, the second consecutive year it has topped the list. At least in U.S., especially the Florida, the state of Florida, does have such a resistance against gay-friendly books. And governor is against it, some of the legislators are against it, and parents' groups are standing up and they are against it. That's why this banning activity is being kind of promoted at this moment of time. But in most of the states in America, obviously it's a free choice for everyone. Konoko, senior journalist, reported the following on Nine News on March 16th this year, in quote, a gender identity memoir aimed at teenage readers has been referred to the Australian Classification Board, ACB, after a complaint made by a conservative activist saw the book removed from the shelves of a Queensland library, end of quote. So in the Queensland, in one of those Queensland library, this particular man found this gender issue, or what is the gender queer book, and he complained it, and it was removed, but at request, still this book could be lent out. There are many children's books published in which we can find phrases including bisexual, homosexuality, intersex, lesbian, transgender, transsexual, queer, gender identity, or sex change. By the way, and I'm so sorry that I have to say such a thing here from the pulpit, but that particular guy's book, Konoko's book, it was banned in Florida, as I said before, and it was removed from the shelf in from Queensland Library in Australia. That particular book, Gender Queer, a memoir book, what kind of contents it has? I didn't read it, by the way. I just read its summary. It says it includes illustrations of masturbation, sex toys, and oral sex. Steve Bailey contributed an article to Post and Courier paper on July the 9th this year. Its title is Why This Book is Gay, Others Don't Belong in Your School Library. He says, in quote, banning books from school libraries is all the rage these days, so I decided to do something about it. I read some of the books, and it's surprising what you can learn by reading. Like, some of these books really don't belong on school libraries available to ninth graders. Start with This Book is Gay by Juno Dawson, one of a dozen titles Horry County has pulled from libraries' shelves. The problem is not that the book is about growing up gay or trans, but that it's an explicit how-to-sex manual that somehow found a place in a high school library. Our children are exposed to LGBTIQA plus education. Whether you like it or not, it is very near to you. Students at government schools across Australia study health and physical education from their first year of schooling to year 10. The relationships and sexuality content in the Australian curriculum explores the physical, social and emotional changes, and the role of relationships, identities, and sexuality. Words like identities and sexuality carry lots of impregnant meaning in the subject we are doing. We are facing upheavals in the philosophy of education in government schools, public schools. There is a section in the education department's guidelines which explains gender diverse and intersex children and young people support procedure. I will quote some of them for your understanding and how deeply it is in the school system, how deeply your children are affected. It says, A, this is a mandated procedure. Did you hear that? This is a mandated procedure. Under the department's operational policy framework, it means that everyone must follow the prescribed procedures concerning gender diverse and intersex children. B, this procedure outlines the department for education's processes to support gender diverse and intersex children and young people in accordance with the department's supporting gender diverse, intersex, and sexually diverse children and young people policy. C, transphobic and interphobic behavior are specific types of discrimination that gender diverse and intersex children and young people might experience. So a boy or girl comes to you as a teacher, you are working for them, and he says, I'm a girl. If you say, no, you are not a girl, that is a discrimination. Deliberate or repeated use of names and pronouns not identified with by a child or young person is known as misgendering. These types of behavior could be in breach of discrimination laws. Did you hear that? This is not just a misbehavior even in the society. This is a violation of a law. By saying that you are not a boy, you are not a girl, you are actually a boy or a girl, that is a criminal offense. D, for some children, an intersex variation is identified early and the child is assigned a sex based on medical advice to the parents. E, an intersex child or young person might tell you that they do not identify with the gender assigned to them at birth. So assigned sex at birth is a boy, for example. But this boy comes to teacher and says, I do not identify my gender with my birth sex. In this situation, the support process for children and young people who are gender diverse should be used. F, a request for support might come from a gender diverse child or young person themselves or from a parent. It is critical that a child or young person's identity is recognized. It's recognized, and they are not encouraged to hide or change their identity. Sexual expression. So, no hiding, no changing. F, where possible, gender diverse and intersex children and young people must be allowed to lead conversations about arrangements made for their inclusion and safety in their learning setting. And so when These children are coming to you with all these issues, actually you are to encourage them to speak about it even more. So that is an act of affirmation. G, when parents make it clear they do not support their child's gender affirmation. So parents say that's not something we agree. Then the site leader, maybe it could be a teacher or whatever, the leader of the group, the site leader must decide what is in the best interest of the child or young person. It is not parents' right and privilege to decide what is the best thing for their children, but it's the site leader must determine what is the best interest for the children. So parental rights and privileges are effectively taken away, actually, by the law. The primary consideration is the safety and well-being of the child or young person within the learning setting. You must be guided by your, it says, duty of care obligations. So, in fact, there is a kind of presupposition. If you say that there are only two sexes in the world, male and female, then actually that is not a right view. You are a very narrow-minded person. And if someone, a child says that, you know, my body and my real gender do not match, and in fact that expression must be encouraged, and the child must be able to speak it out, and what you have to do is to affirm it. Right. What you feel is right. What you're doing is correct. That's a duty of care obligations. H, sometimes a child or young person might not want their parents to know about their gender diversity. I say it, teacher, but I do not want you to speak to my parents about it. If this happens, the site leader should. Then, if there is reasonable suspicion of harm for a child or young person, you must follow the usual mandatory reporting processes. One of the first things a gender diverse child or young person often wants is to change their name and gender pronouns. This will mean using a preferred name and pronouns in the setting. A gender diverse child or young person should be asked their preferred first name and the pronouns they would like used. A child or young person's preferred name and pronouns must be used, not can be used, must be used by staff, children, and young people regardless of enrollment information. You must also ensure that internal records and communications, for example, class list, attendance roll reports, use the child or young person's preferred name and pronouns. Sometimes one or both parents will not agree with their child being known by their preferred name or pronouns. In these circumstances, the best interest of the child or young person's well-being is the primary consideration. The child or young person's preferred name and pronouns are to be used in the education setting if, it's interesting, if a site leader decides it is in their best interests, even if no agreement can be reached with the parents. How do you feel? So, your boy may be known as Jessica in school. And your boy does not want you to know about it. And school is not going to inform you of it. And so when you visit the school and watch some sort of school activities of school children and so on, and you may happen to hear someone calling your son Jessica, you may protest, but it doesn't matter. It was already decided. We are challenged not only in education system, but also at workplaces. The South Australian government supports LGBTIQA+ in public sector. Its own website states, in quote, "The South Australian public sector is committed to creating an environment inclusive of people who are LGBTIQA+, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex." Intersex means a person who is born with natural variations of sex characteristics that do not fit medical and social norms for male or female bodies. This can include, but is not limited to, variations in hormones, chromosomes, and sexual organs. And queer and asexual, a person who does not experience a sexual attraction but may experience romantic attraction. And related terms include agender, someone who does not have a gender identity, and aromantic, someone who does not experience romantic attraction or use other personal identifiers, end of quote. As you can see, there is a plus sign after LGBTIQA. It is an acknowledgement that the terms in the acronym may not cover all sexual identities. The most difficult part in workplaces in relation to these guidelines is that you are not sure which pronouns you have to use when you find someone in the office or clients are coming to your office. See how the Australian South Australian government advises its employees, in quote, "You can't know someone's pronouns from looking at them and simply by their name. The best and only way to find out someone's pronoun is to ask them, preferably privately and always in a respectful way," end of quote. The Victorian government has a similar guideline for its employees. It says, in quote, "Don't assume that everyone is heterosexual," in other words, straight, "or that this is the norm. Avoid using language such as wife or husband that assumes all relationships are heterosexual, as this excludes non-heterosexual people and devalue their relationships. Words and phrases such as partner, parents, relationship, inner relationship are examples of LGBTIQ inclusive language," end of quote. So, from education to work ethics, everything is changing, and everything seems to be evolved around LGBTIQA plus issues. And there are also confusions over terminologies. Where is our confusion coming from? Primarily, I think our confusion comes from our ignorance of terminologies in this particular debate. And by understanding them better, we may have better and clearer ideas of the issues. First of all, I want you to know what gender binary is. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, I do not agree with the Encyclopedia Britannica in some areas when it presents not factual things, but theories as if they are facts. But anyway, it says this. It is a gender binary is, in quote, "a system that classifies sex and gender into a pair of opposites, often imposed by culture, religion, or other societal pressures. Within the gender binary system, all of the human population fits into one of two genders, men or women. Proponents of the system consider the gender binary to be a useful and accurate system of classification. However, critics often view it as a system that discriminates against individuals who identify as transgender or gender nonconforming. By definition, the model does not include gender identities that exist outside the binary system. Some critics also consider the gender binary system to be harmful toward cisgender individuals. Cisgender means those who identify with the sex and gender assigned to them at birth, because of its perceived tendency to reinforce gender roles and stereotypes," end of quote. What we find from this article from Encyclopedia Britannica, are two things. Number one, the humankind is divided into two genders, man and woman, in gender binary system. Number two, however, there are people who do not feel to fit into any of them. What it means is that there are people who have different views of sex and gender. They think that they, sex and gender, are not always identical but exchangeable. So even though I'm a male sex, but by gender I may be female. That is the idea. In other words, biological sex does not determine genders. There is also a sentiment to reject the traditional gender roles like feminism. We should find subtle changes even in definitions of the word sex and gender. And this is all, you know, out there for fights. The 1828 Noah Webster's English Dictionary defines sex as, in quote, "the distinction between male and female, or the property or character by which an animal is male or female. The male sex is usually characterized by muscular strength, boldness, and firmness. The female sex is characterized by softness, sensibility, and modesty. And B, gender is defined as a sex, male or female. In this case, sex and gender refer to the same thing and they can be used interchangeably," at least in 1828. The Merriam-Webster English Dictionary defines sex as, in quote, either of the two major forms of individuals that occur in many species that are distinguished respectively as male, a female, or male, especially on the basis of their reproductive organs and structures. In other words, childbearing abilities, having or not having, and gender as the behavioral, cultural, or psychological traits typically associated with one sex. Thus, sex refers to male or female, while gender is determined by behavioral, cultural, or psychological traits. For example, if a boy, male by sex, acts and talks like a girl and demonstrates more or like a girl's traits, then he is assigned as a female gender. That is what experts are doing today. According to this definition, sex and gender are not always identical, and gender could be fluid. When young students are asked on university campuses, probably you have seen this YouTube clip somewhere before. So young students were asked on university campus about the number of genders in the world. An incredible thing is that many of them could not answer the question. And many of the students said, it is just literally indefinite. And there are so many. So more than 70 plus pronouns have been suggested for use so far. The LGBTIQA plus groups say that gender, sex, sexuality are all separate concepts. By the way, I have written four articles for November, so you are going to read them from next week. And today's article is about Halloween, the second part. So I hope that you will read the articles, four articles in the coming weeks. They are very simple, but I think relevant to talks rather than technical matters I wrote about. So LGBTIQA plus groups say that gender, sex, sexuality are all separate concepts. This idea is everywhere in any government website explaining how to understand LGBTIQA plus. They say that sex refers to a person's biological sex characteristics. This has historically been understood as either female or male. So far, there is no difference between them and traditionally understood biblical concept of sex. However, when it comes down to gender, they say that gender can be expressed in different ways, such as through behavior or physical appearance. Even they say that some people are born with natural variations to sex characteristics. In other words, a biological boy or a biological girl may display the opposite sex traits, and as for them, sex and gender are not identical. In a word, a person's gender does not necessarily mean they have particular sex characteristics or a particular sexuality or vice versa. There is a sex dysphoria in such person's mind, they say. Only solution in this case is to let them choose their sexes based on their genders. When it goes on, they become transgenders beyond the homosexuals. So that is the kind of ultimate goal from homosexuality, transgenderism. They believe that they are in wrong bodies and thus they need surgical interventions to change their bodies so that they could change sexes. But in fact, by having those surgeries, man does not become woman, woman does not become man. How about chromosomes and all those biological characteristics of each sex? In order to explain certain behaviors, they changed even word definitions, and they make follow-up changes, including sex changes. On the top of that, they explain about sexuality or sexual orientation as a person's romantic and or sexual attraction to others. It opened doors for any type of sexual encounters. From June year 28, the World Health Organization, WHO, declassified being transgender as a mental illness. That means up until that time, they saw it as a kind of problem. The term gender dysphoria has been replaced with gender incongruence and has been placed under the broader platform of sexual health. How should we respond to such challenges against the biblical understanding of sex and gender? We need to clear the confusion about the relationship between sex and gender first. I'm sure that there is no issue for anyone to understand sex biologically. Thus, there are male and female, or men and women. Their organs are different. Until the 20th century, sex and gender meant literally the same thing. According to Merriam-Webster's English Dictionary, the word gender gained the meaning referring to the behavioral, cultural, or psychological traits typically associated with one sex, as in gender roles. So this act, this behavior looks like a girl, a girl's trait, or that's a boy's trait, etc. Then later in the century, gender also came to have application in two closely related compound terms. One, gender identity. Gender identity refers to a personal internal sense of being male, female, some combination of male and female, or neither male nor female. So whatever individuals feel, that's their gender identity. Second, gender expression. Gender expression refers to the physical and behavioral manifestation of one's gender identity. In other words, those characteristics or traits of a particular sex is manifested. So it is being called as gender expression. By the end of the century, gender by itself was being used as a synonym of gender identity. Thus, among those who study gender and sexuality, a clear delineation between sex and gender is typically prescribed, with sex as the preferred term for biological forms, and gender limited to its meaning involving behavioral, cultural, and psychological traits. So we are fighting here for word definitions. In this dichotomy, the terms male and female relate only to biological forms, sex. And another word, gender, remains complicated. So it is so-called gender fluidity. Gender fluid. Gender is fluid. There is no fixed gender. It fluids. It flows by different webs, different ties. So this term dominates in such collocations as gender differences, gender gap, probably not much sex gap, but gender gap, gender equality, not sex equality, gender bias, or gender relations. So more and more we hear of that word gender with everything. Australia's anti-discrimination law states, in quote, in Australia, it is unlawful to discriminate on the basis of a number of protected attributes, including age, disability, race, sex, intersex status, gender identity, and sexual orientation in certain areas of public life, including education and employment. It is just incredible. It's just unbelievable. When it talks about anti-discrimination law, what is being discriminated here? Those areas are mentioned here. Age should not be discriminated. Race, sex, intersex status, gender identity, and sexual orientation in certain areas and so on. There are at least four categories of discrimination. They are against age. We understand that. Against the disability. We understand that. Racial discrimination, we understand that. There should not be any discrimination. But how about sexual orientation? How about gender identity? How these sex-related, sexuality issues are coming together with race, Or what else? Age and disability. You do not choose your race. You do not choose your age. You do not choose your disability. But how about sexual orientation, gender identity? In the section of sex discrimination, discrimination against the sexual orientation is included. I think we must be really cautioned here. Fundamentally, we all agree that any form of discrimination must be rejected. However, our question is if homosexuality can be put in the same category as age, race, and disability. It is a really great success of LGBTIQA+ groups by making it happen that homosexuality is included in this anti-discrimination law. The LGBTIQA+ groups argue that it must be so. Why? What is their reasoning? By which they imply that homosexuality is either inborn nature or unchangeable trait. So here is a sparking, you know, very much cautionary signs coming up. What they are saying is that we are born this way, just like race, just like age. We cannot change it. We cannot change it. That idea has been really bombarding on us constantly from mass media, from all kinds of, you know, entertainment industries and even intellectuals. If you want to be recognized as one of the intellectuals while speaking against LGBTQI, you'll be really looked down. I must say that there is no such scientific or experiential evidence to prove it, but they want to brainwash us to believe that homosexuals are born that way. I will talk about it in my next message. I will go into it a little bit more. So I want you to know that it is not inborn nature. It is not unchangeable. We are to be alarmed that taking a heterosexual or gender binary position in public could be a criminal offense in the law in this country. It is considered as a hate crime, even though there is no verbal abuse or violent act against homosexuals. If we go along with whatever is stipulated in the law or guidelines issued by government bodies. This issue is not considered as a matter of conscience anymore. So some people call the Bible as the book of hate crimes because the Bible speaks against it. So at the moment, at least inside of Christian churches or religious bodies, it is allowed legally, by law, to speak against those different practices. However, we do not know how long we may have this freedom of conscience and freedom of religion. To us, it is a matter of freedom of conscience. The reason behind this shift is, as Paley Cura, a professor of political science in Brooklyn College, says, I think what he said is right, in quote, sex has become a political football in the culture wars. LGBTIQA+ is not a scientific issue. It is a political issue. Political correctness has played an important role for it. We must know that homosexuals can be changed. There are many, many such examples. Anne Hetchy, I don't know how to pronounce her name, a former partner of Ellen DeGeneres, said, in quote, the interviewer said, you were gay for a bit. You have an open mind. Anne said, I have, yes, had an open mind. But then I make decisions. I have an open mind, but then I've learned about that. Fantastic. I have an open mind. I can change my mind. There is a door. We can close that door. We can go to another door. End of quote. In other words, she was in gay and lesbian relationship with the woman, but she got out of it. Which is just one of the many examples that former homosexuals became straight. The point is that, in quote, homosexuality is not fixed and unchangeable. As these public figures reveal, some of them celebrate their sexual fluidity as a good thing. Others believe that the only true expression of sexuality is heterosexuality, since it is consistent with our biological design. But the message is the same from all of them. People can change. That's the message. We have to answer for an honest question. Here is a difficult question. Aren't there children or people whose behaviors and or traits are those traits are those of their opposite sex? How can we explain such behaviors and traits? I do not deny that there are individuals who seem to be at odds with the traditional roles of their own sex, male or female. No one will deny that there are feminine boys and masculine girls. There are boys preferring to take up girls' roles and girls, boys' roles. But the question is, what is wrong with that? You know, one of my acquaintances many years ago, this person was a girl, and her wedding pledge to her husband was that in the rest of her life, she will never let her husband come into the kitchen and do the cooking work. But she is going to cook. So I heard her pledge and I thought, wow. And everybody was impressed. And I think it was because she had such a heart for her husband, but at the same time, she thought that was a female's role. But there are a lot of male who are better cooks than their spouses. And, you know, well-known famous chefs are men mostly. A lot of designers of women's clothes are male. But that does not mean that they have to change their sexes and gender. It does not mean that boys become girls and girls become boys. But it's in a very simple manner we can explain it. There are girlish boys. And there are boyish girls. What's wrong with that? Their particular traits do not change their sex. The LGBTIQA plus activists say that especially religions have brainwashed the people to prejudice against them. However, in fact, to the contrary, our children are educated about them and brainwashed to believe what they say in the Bible concerning LGBTIQA+. A term, gender discrimination, has become more popular these days than sex discrimination. Nonetheless, the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image. Genesis 1:27 says, male and female. Then commanded them to be fruitful and multiply, that is, between man and woman. Homosexuality does not fit into God's creation model. Today, I want you to remember three things. Number one, homosexuality and the kingdom of God are not compatible. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It is a very harsh statement, especially if we know some of our loved ones practicing not giving up their particular, their sex life or lifestyle, our hearts may be broken. But this is beyond my personal opinion. This is beyond what I can come up with to comfort and encourage you. But this is what God says. Such individuals are not in the kingdom of God. It does not give us any delight or pleasure at all. But rather, it must put more burdens and weights upon our hearts to be concerned about them and to pray for them. It's a heartbreaking matter. Unless you and I redefine Christianity, there are no homosexual Christians in the kingdom of God. Number two, man is man and woman is woman, and some may have certain traits of their opposite sex. It still does not change their sex or gender. Even if gender has to be defined by a person's behavior, cultural, or psychological traits, it still does not change the fact that man is man and woman is still woman. Gender does not change sex. Thus, we do not say that this person is biologically male with female gender or biologically female with male gender. They are feminine male and masculine female, but still man and woman unchanged. Number three, our freedom of conscience based on biblical truth is on trial at the moment. And it will be challenged more and more in the coming years. The secular government makes it a law that our biblical stand on the issue is a violation of the anti-discrimination law. Then it becomes a case of our freedom, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech. Every Christian schools and organizations have been and will be affected by the law. Therefore, home education is extremely important. How you are educating your children at home. And that's why church Sunday school education is extremely important. It is because 5 days a week, our children are going to school and hearing all kinds of things from teachers and from reading from books and also being influenced by their friends. And there is something I have not addressed, even though it is a very, very serious matter today, because I could not bring everything within one message. It is about same-sex attraction, or some people call it as a sexual orientation. And I'm going to deal with that matter in my next messages in the coming 2 more weeks. And I hope and pray that the Lord will keep our friend, our children and ourselves from the wrongs of the world. And also we will have even heavier and bigger burdens and weights upon our hearts to pray for the people who do not follow the ways of the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, truly this message is not giving me any degree of pleasure or gladness in heart, but rather it grieves me greatly, Lord, and it burdens me even more. However, dear Lord, everywhere today we cannot avoid hearing or facing some things relevant to this particular issue, LGBTIQA+. And also we know and believe what the Bible says, and we desire to follow what the Scripture says. Dear gracious Lord, give us courage and boldness to stand on the truth of God, regardless of circumstances. Probably in the coming years, our younger generation will face even bigger challenges. And I pray that you will strengthen their faith and help them to be nurtured right now, dear Lord, so that when they have to face the situation, they can stand up for the truth of God. Oh, dear gracious Lord, preserve us and protect us and keep us from all those wrong teachings of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.